Chapter 3. Same dream, same outcome. Anastasia slowly opened her eyes. A couple of seconds passed before her sight adjusted to the dark environment around her. Cracked lines on the white stucco ceiling of her bedroom came into focus. They spread along the surface like varicose veins. She lifted her head slightly from her pillow, glancing at her feet near the edge of the bed, with her mind still recovering from her reoccurring dream. What does it mean? The same dream she had yesterday and the night before about her human family haunted her again. But this time the dream left her empty and angry. As a little girl, she watched from the windows of her family's home while her father sat on horseback in the fields, watching their servants till the ground for harvest. The sun's rays warmed her skin, and she loved basking in its light. She became anxious, like any little girl would, while waiting for her father's return. When he opened the door and walked in, smelling like wet grass and outside air, Anastasia grabbed his hand and led him over to his favorite chair, where he plopped her on his right knee and began to sing to her. Only 10 years old at the time, Anastasia remembered the song. It was her father's favorite and hers as well. He grabbed the hairbrush from the table and began to run it through Anastasia's long dark hair. She closed her eyes and she let his hoarse voice fill her ears. At that age, she knew her father wanted a son and he prayed for a miracle. However, it didn't stop him from loving her and giving her all the attention a little girl her age needed. Aurelia, is your mother filling your head with thoughts of acting? Aurelia. No one had called her that in a long time. She shook her head no, remembering that her dream of becoming an actor was a secret only she and her mother knew. If she promised to hide her fascination and give more thought to the idea of becoming some lucky man's wife, her mother promised to take her to see a Shakespeare play in London someday. Her father handed her a small brown box. Here, daughter, I have a present for you. Excited, she opened it, only to find a bloody and fresh human heart. She felt her stomach beginning to twitch and she grew tired. Her eyes fluttered and she slightly turned her head to look over her shoulder. Her father's icy hands slid further down Anastasia's small framed body into her back. She immediately stood up and turned to face her father. Honey, what's wrong? Her father's lips moved slowly. Anastasia noticed a gaping hole in his chest and she looked back down at the box. A female voice echoed inside her head. At first, she had trouble hearing it. Then it became louder and louder, and she realized that she'd never heard the voice before. But she felt that somehow she was connected to it. Come to me, Anastasia. The voice also echoed around her. She looked back to her father, who held out his arms, and he opened his mouth. Come to me, Anastasia. Who are you? She continued to step back, away from whoever had taken over her father's body. Why are you invading my dreams? Come to me, come to me, the voice repeated over and over, deafening her. She then woke up. She turned off her night lamp, which rested on a stand next to her bed. Enough sunlight crept from underneath her bedroom door to see in her semi-darkened room. A pile of bloodied clothes rested on the floor near the edge of her bed. No matter how many times she dreamed of the day, running into her father's warm arms, her father kissing her on the forehead and telling her that everything was going to be okay, she knew her parents were dead and they would never come back to her. The realization proved more than what Anastasia could handle, and she picked up her night lamp, throwing it to the floor. Before the lamp landed, she quickly got out of bed in demon speed, and she dressed herself in a loose white t-shirt and blue jeans. The noise of the lamp crashing into the floor didn't break her stride. She slipped on an old pair of house shoes and left her room. The silent hallways of Blind Bluff Manor soothed her calm nerves. Sometimes dark during the day, depending if Remy or Hallie roamed them, she never felt threatened by its atmosphere. Thick, multi-level Greek curtains blocked out the slivers of sunlight that reached the floor. The cold air fondled her skin, and her footsteps vibrated through the silence as she walked down the hallway and toward the balcony. From the edge, she saw the light from Nathan's study. She slowly proceeded down the stairs, remembering the first time she had stepped foot inside his mansion years ago. Had it been so long? Time seemed irrelevant to a demon, especially one such as herself. Being over 400 years old, she made sure nothing, not even life, would have a chance of becoming sacred to her. The first time they'd met, she threatened Nathan, thinking that he had something to do with Lucius's disappearance. After finding out that he didn't, he welcomed her with open arms and invited her to stay with him at his home. In return, she kept him off her menu, protected him, and headed off his calls. Never did she think that she could ever be this close to a human. Through all of this, she made a mental decision to mention nothing about the children she encountered and killed at the sanctuary the night before to Nathan and the others. No one in the sanctuary knew about her nighttime activities as well. She reached the bottom steps and slowly walked by the Roman statues that decorated the front foyer. Beautiful, constantly kept free from dust by Nathan himself, and why he didn't hire a maid for the morning hours confused her. The statues showing Nathan's curiosity about the history of Rome and the Brotherhood, an organization he was once part of that watched, studied, and documented her kind. Human researchers gave their lives to write down every piece of information on every demon they could find. Only in recent years did the organization move toward a neutral stance when it came to demon affairs, or so the demon thought. That all changed when Veronica's mother, a researcher, disappeared while following Lucius years ago. Veronica came back to Minneapolis to retrace her mother's footsteps, only to find that her own father, with help from Kai, had killed her mother and placed Lucius in limbo, a magical hold void of time for demon. Anastasia smoothed her hair back with her hands to straighten the wild strands, and she peered into Nathan's library, watching him resting in his chair with his head immersed in a brown, withered book. She picked up on his thoughts that circled in hypersonic speeds, revealing to her the book he read. It once belonged to a 15th century researcher from Madrid by the name of Gustavo. It chronicled Lucius's brief appearance in the city in 1530, and the confrontation with his sister Lucia on the shores of River Manzanares on a Friday, shortly after midnight. Nathan's interest didn't surprise her. For years, he took special interest in Lucius and helped Veronica in her search. When Lucius and Celine left Minneapolis, hot on Kai's trail, he promised Lucius he'd look after Veronica. After all, Lucius had fallen in love with Veronica's mother, and he believed that saving her from harm was the least he could do. Now Anastasia didn't know what was going on with Lucius. He commanded her to raid every sanctuary in Minneapolis with ties to Kai, and she followed his orders blindly. Nathan's eyes drifted from the book to her. He removed his reading glasses from his face and smiled, revealing wrinkles extending from the corners of his mouth and crow's feet from the corner of his deep blue eyes. He hadn't slept yet. She could see it in his tired eyes. There was also something else she sensed about him. He was different, and his body was starting to show years of neglect. Morning. He closed the book and placed it on his lap. Anastasia remained quiet. She paid close attention to the aging process for a human. When she'd first met Nathan, he had brown hair, and his face showed no signs of stress. Now, grey streaks extended from roughly around his ears to the back of his head, and his hair thinned on the top. "You look tired. Did you sleep well?" he asked her. He knew only because she allowed him to know. She thought maybe, just maybe, he knew why she suddenly dreamt of nothing but her dead human parents. "Same dream. Same outcome," she replied. "I can no longer sleep. It wakes me when the sun is out." "Have you tried going back to sleep?" "Yes, but it starts all over again. From the beginning, I will deal with it." She heard a light tapping behind her, and she quickly looked over her shoulder, staring at the front door. She could already smell Veronica's scent traveling through the small crevasses of the door's frame. She heard the jingling of keys and the doorknob twisting. Veronica's thoughts also seemed to circle wildly through her head. They felt commingled and thought of nothing but her mother, Lucius, and her father. The door opened, exposing Anastasia's body to the sunlight. It singed her skin, but she didn't move. When Veronica saw her, she immediately closed the door. Soon, her thoughts went silent, and she blocked them from Anastasia. It was one thing Anastasia detested about anyone associated with the Brotherhood. They knew how to block their thoughts from Demon. Veronica slipped off her brown hoodie, and she draped it over one of the Roman statues. She walked quickly past Anastasia and into the study, cradling a bag of donuts and holding two cups of coffee. They were out of decaf. She handed a cup to Nathan, and she placed the bag on his lap. Anastasia felt her skin beginning to heal itself. Her attention turned to the fireplace. Ever since I left the cave after Lucius was released, my dreams have become more disturbing. She turned her attention back to Nathan. He sipped his coffee and paused before speaking again. Have you heard anything from Lucius or Celine? No, I haven't. You'd think Lucius would confide in you since you practically worshipped his very being, Veronica spoke up. Anastasia's eyes darted in her direction. The human still didn't like her and didn't trust her, but Anastasia couldn't blame her. In reality, she didn't care, but Veronica's snotty remarks dug into her cold skin, and this time she felt the need to reply. Humans can't understand the bond a demon has with another, she said with clenched teeth. Since Lucius freed her from the casket her sire put her in centuries ago, she felt a sense of loyalty when it came to Lucius. She considered him to be her true sire. No, I guess we can't. Veronica leaned back in her chair. For a moment, her thoughts became unblocked, and Anastasia picked up on them. She sensed Veronica's lack of reassurance in regards to her father and the Brotherhood. She still didn't know what they did to Sean, her best friend who came to Minneapolis to help her in her search. She felt betrayed by those around her, and the only confidence she had left remaining was to Nathan. Once Lucius returns, Sylvanus will let me know, Anastasia said. Until then, I'll assume that he hasn't found Kai yet. The smell of cold death filtered into Anastasia's nostrils. She knew that annoying scent, like the back of her hand. She watched Nathan glance behind her at Remy. Anastasia looked over her shoulder. Veronica's thoughts leaked from her conscious again and became available for her to hear. Veronica trusted Remy just as much as she trusted her. She also sensed that Remy picked up on Veronica's thoughts as well, like any demon coming across a free thought would. He gently tapped his fingers on the wall and his lips pulled back, forming a mischievous smirk while his eyes danced. You're both up early. He slowly crossed his arms over his chest. Then he turned slightly over his shoulder, looking out the window and hummed lightly. It's about 10:30 in the morning, isn't it? Are you also having problems sleeping? Nathan asked. Me? He placed his hand on his chest and chuckled. Not even in the slightest. He straightened his crisp white shirt and he glared down at his black pants before saying, Although you all speak so loudly that I can hear you in my sleep. He then focused in on Veronica. Good morning. Veronica remained quiet. There wasn't anything about Remy that Anastasia liked. His selfishness was apparent. He liked to sulk in the darkened corners of the manor, eavesdropping on others' conversations and, like all demon, he couldn't be trusted. He offered nothing, and that made him a demon she wouldn't mind killing one day. However, like her, Remy had grown attached to Nathan and he had his own personal reason to stick around. She began to wonder if Nathan wasn't the only human person Remy became attracted to, and that maybe he had started to grow fond of Veronica. Remy, is there something I can help you with? Nathan asked. He walked into the study and leaned against the mantel on the fireplace. He stared at the smouldering fire for a second before answering. Just curious on how that research is going. His eyes meandered over to Veronica. It's going. She finally replied to him. Anastasia's eyes centered on each of them individually. Clueless on what Veronica searched for now, she tried to read her thoughts but found herself blocked again. "If you're wondering, Anastasia," Remy said, "I've offered my services to Veronica." "Services?" Anastasia's eyes narrowed. "Yes." Remy stood tall and he cleared his throat. "She's a researcher. That's what she's trained to do. With the Brotherhood chapter reopening their services, I'm sure she'll cross paths with them in the near future. And well, since Lucius is so bent on her protection, and with you being busy with your nighttime activities, I thought I'd step up to the plate." Anastasia wondered what he had planned. Every smart demon who remained in the city knew of Veronica's protection, so there wasn't any need to coddle her anymore. Now, an outsider, Veronica found her itch by researching and helping Nathan. The only thing Remy could possibly offer her was trouble. "You're wasting your time," Anastasia replied. "Those human researchers are small compared to the real dangers."
"Like who?"
"The demon you kill at those god-awful sanctuaries." Remy rubbed his hand along the surface of the mantle. Nathan and Veronica turned their attention to her. Anastasia saw confusion in their eyes. "There are demon in the city who still support Kai," she said. "Lucius wants them destroyed."
"All of them?" Nathan questioned.
"Yes, all of them." She turned back to Remy. "Unlike some demon, I follow the set rules of ancients." Knowing Remy's distaste for authority, Anastasia expected him to make a sly remark. Instead, he slicked back his short brown hair. His muscles underneath his shirt twitched slightly, and Anastasia saw how Veronica reacted to it by staring at his lean upper mass. He wasn't an eyesore to gaze at. In fact, Remy, the only Lamia in Blind Bluff Manor, was highly attractive. Even with his sexual attributes, Anastasia didn't understand why Veronica was so tolerant of his childish behavior.
"Sounds like it."
Remy rubbed the dust from the mantle between his index finger and his thumb. His tongue glazed over his bottom lip, and his brown eyes continued their stare at Veronica as he continued questioning Anastasia.
"From what I've heard, you've been making somewhat of a mess in the city. Can we say genocide much?"
"Only those who supported Kai," Anastasia replied.
"Ah, yes, those bad, bad, bad Kai supporters."
He pulled back the curtains slightly, allowing just a sliver of sunlight to travel into the room. He smiled.
"You're a big girl, aren't you, Anna? Lucius Sergeant at Arms."
He shielded his eyes from the sunlight and he chuckled.
"What I do in my spare time is none of your business." She eyed Veronica and Nathan.
"And it's not human related."
"Yes, I agree," Nathan said. "We don't have a say in the matter."
He readjusted himself on the couch. "But thinking about the number of sanctuaries in the city, there are a lot of them, Anastasia." Veronica grabbed her cup of coffee, and without warning, she left the study and headed up the stairs.
"I don't think Veronica liked your response."
Remy continued to watch Veronica until she disappeared.
"She wants to do more," Nathan said. "She blames her mother's death on the very organization her father is part of, and of course, she blames all the demon.
I've been trying to help her cope with her loss and to redirect her energy on positive things."
"She wants revenge. You should let her have it."
Remy smiled. Nathan exhaled. "Revenge would be the worst thing for her, Remy."
"Perhaps, but it's a fun road."
He clasped his hands together as he walked out of the room and headed upstairs after Veronica. Nathan turned his attention toward Anastasia.
"I will admit, I'm a little apprehensive that Lucius has remained so distant from you and me.
Kai did a lot of damage to the demon in Minneapolis. Lucius needs to fix it, make it right." Nathan began to cough and he covered his mouth, turning away. Anastasia tilted her head to the side. The air emanating from Nathan's cough smelled thick and tart. It was the smell of sickness.
"Are you okay?"
"I'm fine. Just a cold." Nathan cleared his throat.
"Are you sure? It smells like more than just a cold."
"I'm fine," he turned back to her.
The telephone rang and Anastasia watched Nathan pick up the phone receiver. His hand began to shake, and again the putrid air from his cough circled in her nose. She stepped out of his study and into the hallway. Like her, Nathan was keeping a secret. She couldn't place the smell, and there wasn't any other clue related to his health that she could pinpoint. Whatever it was felt like more than a common cold or flu, and she hoped that wasn't the case.
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/IsaianMorrison.